If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Beyond the Pearls podcast, based on the Morning Report series from Elsevier. This podcast has been adapted for audio in collaboration with series editor Dr. Raj Dasgupta, as well as the volume editor for each book. Each episode features an in-depth case dissection format and aims to deliver practical, concise, and easy-to-digest information. And now, here's today's episode.
So let's do this. What about this 29-year-old woman? Oh, with a history of depression. All right, maybe something for my psychiatrist out there, you know, is referred for a PSG and MSLT to evaluate what? Hypersomnia. Okay. Key findings from her nocturnal PSG are over there. So we have our total sleep time, 430 minutes, sleep efficiency of 92 minutes, arousal index of 14 events per hour. The HI is pretty good at 1.5 events per hour. And we look at the different sleep stages, N1, 7%, N2, 73%, N3, 20%, and REM, 0. And where are we going with this? All right. Which of the following medications is most likely to cause these findings? So, what are these medications? A, protriptyline. And you guys could just tell me this. I wish you guys were here. We could have so much more fun. What category of drug is protriptyline? Yeah, it's a TCA. Fluoxetine, that's going to be what? SSRI, citalopram, SSRI, phenazine. Man, I don't think I've ever given anyone phenazine. Oh my God. Does anyone know what category of drug phenazine is? Yeah, I think it's an MAOI. All right. And trazodone. I mean, one of my most common, medications people use for insomnia that's not even FDA approved, and go figure, and it works more on serotonin. All right. So what is the abnormality here? I'm looking at this. Well, I think they're trying to infer the sleep stages, right, everyone? And what really jumps out at you is what's abnormal with these sleep stages? Yeah, REM sleep. I mean, patient's only 29. I mean, you gotta have a little REM sleep, you know what I mean? So I guess they're asking you, which one of these medications is really the most likely to cause zero REM sleep? And I don't know, shout it out, yell it out, throw it in the chat. I'd love to know. This is one of these nice little tricky ones they're gonna ask you on the board exams. And the answer is, it actually is phenazine. I'm not joking, that's the right answer. So why did I put that there? I mean, TCAs, SSRIs, SNRIs, I mean, can they kind of like, block REM sleep? The answer is, yeah, they definitely can block REM, decrease REM. And how do I know that? Because we use SSRIs and TCAs and SNRIs for what sleep disorder sometimes? Narcolepsy. But you know what? Phenazine, you know what I mean? It's an antidepressant that we don't commonly use, but that one really annihilates your REM, you know, more than any of these other antidepressants out there. So if you're asking me based on this, what one really likes to shut off your REM, the answer is the MAOI. So it's kind of a tricky question for the boards. So just a couple quick things that MAOIs, they will ask you on the board exams. There's non-selective types like phenazine. There are selective types that you may see in what? Parkinson's patients, you know what I mean? And MAOIs, how do they kind of help out when we talk about people with depression? They increase serotonin and norepinephrine, and especially dopamine, you know what I mean? But of course, in a classic family practice question or internal medicine question, they always like someone who's on an MAOI, eating some cheese or drinking some wine, and they get a what? A tyramine crisis. And I put it right here, a little picture of someone eating a little cheese and getting what? Sweating and tremors and dizziness, or blood pressure's through the roof. They have the pounding fast heartbeat. So that one is just gonna be a little memorizer when we talk about which category of antidepressants suppresses REM the most. All right. What about this one, everyone? Which of the following has been most commonly described as a sleep-related consequence of lithium? Go figure. You know, honestly, people don't really use a lot of lithium, but if you do, I guess it's for bipolar, but they still love asking lithium on internal medicine board exams, whether it's gonna be a sleep medicine board exam. I remember when I do sleep medicine boards, you could guarantee it. It's always someone that comes in with what? They're gonna be a little bit on the, they're gonna working up for someone for a nephrogenic diabetes insipidus. So anyways, but what about this? What sleep-related consequence can occur? Is it when you use lithium? Is it sleepwalking? Is it getting REM sleep without atonia? Is it gonna be inducing narcolepsy? Is it gonna be getting sleep disordered breathing? I think I'm assuming they're referring to obstructive sleep apnea, the most common. Or is it getting restless leg syndrome? What do you think? So how would I take this approach this question for the board exams? So what category of drug would probably induce REM sleep without atonia? Yeah, it's probably gonna be what? An antidepressant, TCA, SSRI, or MAOI. So yeah, I don't think it's gonna be this one, right? It's not lithium, so that's off the bat. What sleeping aid will probably induce narcolepsy? Yeah, those DORAs, those dual orexin receptor antagonists, things that, remember, orexin, an alerting neurotransmitter, really the key thing when we talk about narcolepsy, but that's not here. Sleep disordered breathing, what can really induce sleep disordered breathing? Opioids, not really lithium in itself. And restless leg syndrome, once again, thinking about SSRIs, SNRIs. So you're kind of bullied into picking what over here if you didn't know the answer. Yeah, A, sleepwalking, and that's actually the right answer. So when we talk about lithium, that lithium actually increases slow wave sleep, go figure, I definitely would know that for the board exams, very few things increase slow wave sleep. It does decrease REM sleep. And, based upon previous studies, around 7% of users, that's not a big number, have reported sleepwalking. All right, are you folks liking this? Do you guys like these one-liners in regards to the medication use? All right, cool. Let's talk about this. 64-year-old woman has been diagnosed with depression and is complaining of difficulty sleeping. What a surprise, Which of the following agents would be most likely to address both concerns? So difficulty sleeping, so you definitely wanted to help out with that, maybe the insomnia part of it, but also be helpful for depression. Good question for the boards. Is it going to be bupropion? I think we go by the brand name Wellbutrin. Is it going to be mirtazapine? Isn't that what we call Remeron? All right. My psych people probably know this way better than I do. Sertraline is Zoloft. Venlafaxine is, I believe that's going to be Effexor. And fluoxetine, classic, Prozac. So which one is going to help out with depression and help out with the insomnia at the same time? Well, let's go through this together. What about fluoxetine, venlafaxine, and sertraline? All of those are what? SSRIs, SNRIs. And they, most of the time, not all of the time, they kind of cause what? Insomnia. Why? It's a serotonin, And, serotonin, dorsal, raphe nuclei. And I know there's many receptors out there, but in broad strokes, serotonin's kind of an alerting neurotransmitter. So, usually when we see our patients on these SSRIs or SNRIs, we give them what? During the morning. So it kind of leaves you with A and B. Now, bupropion is an atypical antidepressant, but it really causes what? Alertness. It's kind of it's not really a sedating, antidepressant. Of course, what did we all memorize? Don't give bupropion to people who have what? Seizures. Very good, very good. And I probably use bupropion for my pulmonary patients who what? Smoking, right? We call it Zyban in those cases. So if you didn't know the answer, you're kind of bullied into picking what? Mirtazapine, which is huge because it's definitely going to be an antidepressant that helps out with what? With sleepiness. It makes you sleepy. And what makes mirtazapine very unique is that it goes by the brand name Remeron, and it's one of the antidepressants that does not suppress REM sleep. And how do I remember that? You'll love this. Remeron, and that's where it came from. So all you folks listening today got an extra point on the board exam, so I hope you remember that. So anyways, it's highly sedating, and it also helps out with what? Depression and anxiety. So this is one of my favorite slides in the entire world. So what is going to be my brand? My brand is called what? Beyond the Pearls. And this is one of my Beyond the Pearls slide that we'll talk about all the medications that I've seen teaching sleep medicine board review for quite a long time. I actually took the board sleep boards twice already. That's how old I'm getting. All right. So number one, for the sleep boards, know your benzos. You know what I mean? So when we talk about FDA approved medications for insomnia, there are really only five categories. Number one, benzodiazepines. Number two, non-benzodiazepine receptor agonists. We call those what? The Z drugs. Number three, melatonin agonists. Number four, certain antihistamines, really speaking about the histamine associated with an antidepressant that that we're going to be talking about, we refer to as doxepin. Then the last are going to be these DORAs, dual orexin receptor antagonist. You know what I mean? So those are the only FDA approved, medications for insomnia. So when we talk about the benzos, they're not all FDA approved. Certain ones are, but you really should know your half-life. Why? Because on your boards, they talk about sleep onset insomnia, sleep maintenance insomnia. It's good to know these things. So triazolam, which is classically on the sleep boards, has the shortest half-life for a benzodiazepine. The longest half-life is flurazepam, goes by the brand name Dalmain, so I would know those. For the Z drugs, now, I don't even need to quiz you. You folks know this already. For the Z drugs with the shortest half-life, think of Sonata, because Sonata begins with the letter what? S, and S stands for what? Short, so that's going to be Zalpion. For the longest half-life, think of Lunesta, because Lunesta begins with the letter what? L, that stands for long, so Esopiclone. And everywhere in the middle is going to be what? Ambien, right? That's going to be what? Zolpidem. Very good. Now, TCAs. Now, let's be honest, for my pulmonary peeps, neurology peeps, that, we don't prescribe a lot of TCAs, but not all TCAs make you sleepy. Some TCAs are going to be alerting. So how do I remember which TCAs for the boards make you sleepy? Think about this kind of acronym. And I'm not really big on teaching acronyms, but I thought this one was kind of cool that this is called ACID. Don't do it. I'm just joking. But ACID stands for what? Amitriptyline, clomipramine, imipramine, and doxepin. Those are all the sedating TCAs. And the ones you'll probably use the most on the boards is what? Doxepin. It goes by the brand name Silnor. For Silnor, it's at the 3 and 6 milligram dosing, but doxepin, you got to use it what at the 10 milligram dosing. Know your sedating TCAs. Look at bullet point number three. MAOIs are the most potent REM sleep inhibitors. And that's why I put that question on the board exam there. Prozac eyes can be seen with all the SSRIs. So when you're sitting down, scoring your sleep studies, always remember, hey, is the patient on an SSRI? As you can see those, those Prozac eyes. Reports of REM behavior disorder. You could see that with SSRIs, SNRIs, because both of those will inhibit atonia in REM sleep. It inhibits REM sleep atonia. Remember, in REM sleep, you don't want to be moving. You don't want to be reenacting your dreams. That's why when you're working up these people with RBD, you definitely want to, if it's safe, that's always the big question on the board exams, don't be stopping anyone's antidepressant till you talk to who? Of course, a psychiatrist. Because if you don't talk to a psychiatrist, who's going to come through that door? That's right, the lawyer. I agree. All right. Bupropion is an atypical antidepressant. It increases REM, so that's something to know for the boards. It's also good because it decreases PLMs. And I think that if they ask you a restless leg syndrome question, if they ask you, hey, someone with restless legs has depression and they need to be on a medication, which one would you use? Classic board question is going to be use bupropion, because remember, SSRIs, SNRIs could increase PLMs and can make restless leg syndrome worse. Next bullet point is the Donepezil. Now, that's a medication that we use for patients with Alzheimer's, one of the most horrible diseases ever. And what does the Donepezil do? It's a choline esterase inhibitor. And of course, you know, ACH, acetylcholine, is a neurotransmitter to be used for what? Alerting. It's a neurotransmitter for what? REM sleep. And I guess that's one of the most important pearls for your boards. What is the neurotransmitter for REM sleep? You know, acetylcholine. And of course, if you're giving someone a cholinesterase inhibitor, they're going to get what? Vivid dreams. So that's a known side effect. And of course, acetylcholine is also, you know, the neurotransmitter for what? Awake. So you could develop what? Insomnia. And it's, you know, how sad it is when you have Alzheimer's disease, they just don't have a good sleep cycle, awakenings throughout the night, you know, irregular sleep wake. It's very sad. When we talk about atypical antipsychotics, you know, whether it's going to be quetiapine, which is going to be Seroquel or Risperidone, or brand name Abilify. Abilify is actually the most minimally sedating antipsychotic. So just wanting to memorize that if they ask you that question on the board exams. And a drug that I know that I don't use as much because I'm not a psychiatrist is Buspirone. And it's important because Buspirone is a non-sedating anxiolytic. It's a non-sedating anxiolytic. So that's a nice little important thing, is most anxiolytics are what? Sedating. It's the only one that's non-sedating. And then many of my, you know, previous fellows and people that train with me always ask about prazosine for nightmares. And unfortunately, there was an article that came out that stated that it really doesn't work. You know what I mean? And does it mean that for those who had a good experience with it, that you shouldn't try it? Probably not. You should take it individualized. But treating nightmares, especially if you have PTSD, it's horrible. We don't have a lot of weapons for it. But for your board exams, do we use it for nightmares? The answer is what? No.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond the Pearls podcast from Inside the Boards. This podcast is executive produced by Christopher Brightigan and Dr. Patrick Beeman. This podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not medical advice. Ars longa, vita brevis.